right, we got a double header for you tonight. On the first segment, we're going to talk about a new movie that's blowing up in popularity on Netflix. And sadly, many undiscerning Christians are eating this thing up because of the title of it and what it's based on. We're going to give you a warning. We're going to show you why you need to avoid this film and why it's dangerous. And then on the second half of this podcast tonight, we're going to talk about a quote-unquote translation of the Bible that is the most reckless, dangerous, and apostate translation ever created. So we got a good one. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, family? It is Wednesday, September 4th. This is End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's podcast. Again, if this is your first time joining us, first time hopping on, again, I am Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We are news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Listen, if you're new, we want to welcome you to the program. If you are first time joining us here on YouTube, if you're down there in the chat, we want to officially welcome you. Let us know where you guys are joining us from. Wherever, again, platform you're watching or listening from, we want to welcome you. You listen by Apple or by Spotify, we welcome you as well. And as always, I'm very honored to come on here and be a blessing to you and your family. Real quick, before we get started on tonight's podcast, a couple things I want you to do. Number one, I need you to help us get the word out. And this is a blessing for you and for me. One, it's going to help you to keep up with our ministry on these social media platforms, but it's also going to help us push the material out there so other people can get eyes on it, on the algorithm. And you can simply do it. It only takes literally a second to do this, guys. Hit the like button. And then take it a step further, hit the subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And then I want to encourage you to take it even a step further. Don't rely on social media networks alone, because guys, I'm telling you, the crosshairs are on these. Even the largest quote unquote free speech platforms out there are now coming under fire. X, Telegram, Rumble, all of these. If things don't change quickly, they may not be around much longer, or they're going to be so heavily governed and suppressed and shadow banned and censored, then it's going to be no different than any other platform out there that's already existing. So I want you to do me a favor. Go to your app store. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, go to your app store, Android, Apple, whatever your device is. Download our free app. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Every headline, every podcast, breaking news, alert, prophecy, update, we do. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. If you're listening to us, or excuse me, not listening, but if you're watching from Rumble, YouTube, or whatever platform you may be watching, in the description of this video, it's going to say, download our free app. When you go to the description, just click on that link. There's going to be a link right under that. If you click on it, it's going to take you right there where you can get our free app. So we would love for you guys to follow us and keep up with our ministry there. So as I told you at the opening and the introduction of this, we've got a double header tonight. We got two segments on one podcast. So on our first segment, I want to cover this new movie. I know you guys, many of you may not have heard of this, but this is making its rounds. It's blowing up in popularity. And I'm talking about what you're looking at on your screen right here. And again, there is a trailer, but I'm not going to play this for sake of copyrights. We don't want to get any strikes or anything like that. And trust me, I don't even want to show you a clip of it anyway. But anyway, this new movie called, and it's a Netflix original that was released on August 30th. It's called The Deliverance. Very catchy title, especially, and guys, and I'll elaborate a little bit more on this. It's amazing how these guys know exactly what they're doing. They know what is popular and what is trending, especially among Christian circles. And deliverance ministry is one of those topics that are very popular right now. So this is no happenstance that this is what's called, that it's called The Deliverance. Okay. But anyway, this is a rated R movie. It is not a Christian movie. It is not Christian directed or produced. There's some things I want to point out here. Now, it's based on a true story about a family in Indiana who dealt with demon possession. I don't know why the screen keeps glitching like that, guys, so just bear with me. I don't know. I don't think it's on my end. I think it's on this website that I'm on. But anyway, this is based on a true story about a Indiana family. Let me give you a little bit of a backdrop on the story, because, again, it is based on a true story. The story is based on a real-life scenario where a woman by the name of Latoya Ammons, who lives in Gary, Indiana, who was a mother in 2011, claimed that her children had become possessed by a demonic spirit. So in the process, this woman had to go through a deliverance, and this made national headlines. And of course, Hollywood decided to capitalize on this. Now, again, this is a Netflix original. It's got many African-American stars that are playing roles in this. One of them is Monique. Some of you may know who that is. Some of you may not know who that is. But the thing that I want to point out right off the bat, if you are spirit-filled, full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to discern some stuff right off the bat. Even, guys, look to the left of your screen. Just look at the cover of the movie alone. It's got an upside down cross. And I'm trying to be very descriptive, guys, because I understand a lot of people don't watch our programs. They listen to them on podcasts. But on the cover of the title of this movie. And again, if you go to Netflix, you can pull it right up and you'll see the cover. It's got an upside down cross. Y'all see that? An upside down cross. And then here's what's interesting. Look at the four main characters, the four main stars of this movie. Notice it shows the one eye. Now, why is that significant? Here's why. This is a known Illuminati gesture, guys. It's a known sign in the occult and Illuminati. These are all quote unquote stars, celebrities, musicians, anybody and everybody that is popular in Hollywood. Look at, they're all throwing up this one-eyed symbol. This is huge. This is popular. And again, this is exactly what we're seeing in this film. When you look over here to your left, this is exactly the same thing. The one-eyed display, the upside down cross. So right off the bat, that is major red flags. Okay. Now, let me go a little bit deeper on this. Now, this is from the Hollywood Reporter. This is what you're looking at on your screen. I want to scroll down here. I'm going to show you some stuff. And I'm going to talk about Lee Daniels, who is the director, who is a open professed homosexual. Number one. Number two, I want to show you the faith of this man who is, again, the producer and director of this film. Let's look at this quote right here. I'm going to pull this up. First of all, part of me trying to find my higher power. This is a quote from him. This is the director, producer. Again, this man says that I am trying to pull from my higher power to create this film. Notice he didn't say God. He didn't say Jesus. He said my higher power. Now, he gives you even more understanding of this when we scroll down here. All right, so this is a statement from Daniels. I had never heard of it before Precious. My producer was who produced the first film that I had done, Tucker Tooley, which did Shadow Boxer together. He gave it to me right after I did Precious, and I steered away from it for a couple of reasons. One, I felt that I didn't want to do another story about abuse. This woman was abusing her kids, or what defines as abuse, because she was hitting the kids. And two, I know how I work. I'm an, quote, open portal. Notice these words here. Higher power, open portal. And I know what I demand, and I know the, quote, spirit works through me. What spirit? I assure you it's not the Holy Spirit. So what kind of spirits, look at this. So what kind of spirits do I want on me? So I was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. But the story, and this is what's crazy, guys. He says, so what kind of spirits do I want on me? So I was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. So it's almost implying that he kind of has a recollection or he has an understanding that this could attract spirits. But yet, let me read on here. But the story sort of sat with me forever. We had never seen this story through the lens of this African-American woman on screen. And I just felt we're in such dark times. And I don't think people really know how dark of times we're in. So notice he's using this terminology that sounds real. Like, I mean, I'm telling you, Christians that have no discernment, they'll eat that up. Oh, look at this, Brother Ricky. He's even acknowledging that we're in dark times. And he's just trying to shed light on demonic possession. No, no, no. We need to read on here. Quote, let me just read on here. And I don't think people really know how dark of times we're in. And I felt like I needed to get reconnected to my higher power. Again, my higher power. And I'm going to show you that this is not Jesus. So I was thinking, okay, how do I do it? Quote, I'm scaring you to Jesus. Oh no, brother. Well, Brother Ricky, he said Jesus for me. Look at this, Brother Ricky. He said he's scaring people to Jesus with this film for him. Well, let's read on. It could be scaring you to Allah or Allah, however you want to pronounce it. Now, guys, again, Allah and Jehovah are not the same God. Allah is the God of the Muslims, and it is not the God of the Christians. Two different gods. One is big G, one is little g. Quote, it could be scaring you to Buddha. This guy has no problem. Watch this. It could be scaring you to whomever it is that you have faith in. Friends, listen to me. That is universalism. That is a description of universalism, a characteristic of universalism. Just this is this Oprah Winfrey Hollywood faith. Do y'all remember this? Let's watch this video. This was from years ago on the Oprah Winfrey show. And she let it known what her belief is. Listen, this was in a very interesting exchange. Let's watch this.
Has been discussing the spirituality and the forces of God. But I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us, that we do have our God that we can depend on. But there's also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of.
And it's also interesting, guys, how far we've come. Like these people are openly, you'll hear this, they'll openly profess Jesus on here, not Oprah, but to the people in the crowd. But you don't see that today, hardly ever. It shows you how far we've come as a nation, how far we've drifted away from the truth. Let's watch the rest of this.
And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most absolute definitely.
Yeah. Now Marianne Williams says in her book Return to Love that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is it's a gorilla talking, but anyway, it talks about one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way.
Okay, stop. Do you hear that? So she is highlighting a book that tells us that one of the mistakes that we make is to believe that there's only one way to heaven or only one way to God. And now it's going to be interesting. Watch the reaction here. And again, this is an Oprah. This is what Oprah believes, guys, that there's more than one way to heaven. Jesus is not the only way, truth, and life. And nobody comes to the Father but through the Son. She does not believe that. As of most people in Hollywood, including, the producer of this movie that some of y'all keep recommending to people and you keep defending. Y'all don't do your homework, man. It flusters me. People don't do their homework. They don't do their research, and they just take anything hook, line, and sinker. They just take the bait, and they just watch. They have no, they see no problem with this. Now, let's go back to this. Watch this.
To live, that we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a human being.
Then how do you please God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
pleasing.
Path might be.
Listen to this new age nonsense.
Something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess,
but it won't, Oprah. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but through me. There's no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. I can take you to the book of John. He says, I am the gatekeeper. If any man tries to come and enter through the gate in any other way but through me, he's a thief and a robber. He'll be cast out. Jesus is the only way, friend. I know this is not popular. I know that this will get this program reduced in visibility, but I don't care. I'm not here to make followers. I'm here to proclaim the truth of the gospel.
Yes, the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides,
There couldn't possibly be just one way. What about?
Yes, there is.
What about Jesus?
Guys, listen to this woman.
One way and only one way, and there that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be
with
because
you
of people
say
in
there
the
isn't.
There couldn't possibly be
because
there can't possibly be. Yes, there is. Wow, the boldness of this woman, I love it.
Say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If
no.
you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
Come on, preach.
Do you think that if you are somewhere on the planet?
Listen.
If you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
Listen, we've covered that. If somebody lives in or if they're part of an indigenous tribe outside of America, they're living in a third world country, they're living somewhere where no man, no missionaries ever come. These people, listen to me, God will reveal himself through dreams and visions. I can show you that in the book of Job, where God speaks to men in the slumber of their bed, in their deep sleep, in order to turn their lives from the pit. So, yes, Christ has been doing this in Muslim nations where no missionary can go over there. This is why you're hearing this a lot about in Iran and other places of the world where Jesus is revealing himself in dreams.
Covered in the scriptures, too. People are talked about
that. God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart or God care about if you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know, Oprah, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Come on. This woman is preaching more than some of the preachers out there. So listen, again, I'm blown away. Let me give you some scriptures here. I'm blown away by the amount of gullible Christians that have no discernment that eat this stuff up, like this movie, Deliverance. Even though, just by looking at it, friends, just looking at the cover of, let me pull this back up again. You got to see this. Just pull this up and just look at the cover alone. Upside down cross, the Illuminati eye, the director. Do some research on the director and the producer. I just showed you some of the statements that he made out of his own mouth. This man does not believe that Jesus is exclusively the way, the truth, the life. He has this universalist mindset. He doesn't care what faith you serve and this and that. It's all about mammon. It's about money. And he's capitalizing. Listen, guys, and you say, now, listen, I know the arguments. Well, Brother Ricky, this is based on a true story. What's your point? Listen, there's a lot of movies out there. The Exorcist was based on a true story, on a real demonic possession. And you're going to tell me you're going to watch that? You're going to allow that to come into your home and lay down a welcome mat for demonic spirits? You got The Conjuring. You've got Annabelle. You've got Amityville Horror. You got all these movies that are based on quote unquote true stories about demonic possessions. And they're not documentaries. They're horror films that are glorifying demonic possessions. And friends, listen to me, Christians, believers, we should never be using demonic possession as a form of entertainment. Let me say that again for the back row. Demonic possession should never be a form of entertainment. This is a serious thing, friend. Demonic possessions, if someone is not delivered from a demon or demons, those demons can lead that individual to hell and they be lost for eternity. And yet we're going to go pop some popcorn and get our drinks and sit around and watch this as a form of entertainment. Are you kidding me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses, let's go to verse 21. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Verse 22, I want you to highlight this. Take out your Bible, take your highlighter, underline it, highlight it. Abstain from every form, some translations say every appearance of evil. How's this hard to understand? Isn't it amazing? But yet Christians justify this. These are the same folks, I guarantee you, the same folks that have no problem watching this garbage, watching exorcism, watching these films on demonic possession. They have no problem whatsoever. I guarantee you, most of them have no problem with celebrating and partaking of Halloween. They have no problem partaking of it, celebrating it, dressing their children up at it, participating in it. They have no problem with it. And if you expose that and you preach against that, oh, they will start those demons. I'm not saying they're demon possessed. Some of them could be, but some of those people that are oppressed by demons because they're entertaining those demons, these people will begin to manifest. They get mad in the comments. And these are so-called Christians. Oh, I know. Listen, we're going to skim down our followers a little bit. We're getting too big. So it's time we skim it down a little bit. And these messages like this, they always seem to do the job. People get offended. I'm unliking you. I'm unfollowing you. Again, goodbye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. We don't coddle you. We don't pacify people. We preach the gospel. Jesus never worried about hurting people's feelings. Listen, I'm more concerned about your spirituality than I am your feelings getting hurt. And let me tell you from experience firsthand. When I was growing up as a little boy, my mother was a backslid Christian, became an alcoholic, and became enamored by darkness. And enamored by this kind of nonsense right here. So she was absolutely infatuated with every horror movie out there. So she watched all the Friday the 13th, the Nightmares on Elm Street, the Amityville Horror, the Poltergeist. She watched all this stuff. So as a little child, I was exposed to this. And you know what it did? It introduced, and all for all you people that say, well, I don't believe this stuff opens the door for the demonic. Well, let me tell you something that I had to deal with. And even to this day, I have to keep the shield of faith up to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one and keep the armor of God, including the helmet of salvation, up. And one of those things that I have to deal with is the spirit of fear. If you listen, you cannot look me in the eyes and tell me that you participate of this stuff, watch this stuff, entertain this stuff, condone this stuff, and you allow it to come into your home. And if you have children, it will allow a demonic spirit of fear to come right into your home. And those children will be gripped by fear. They won't sleep with a light on or off. Excuse me. They'll have to sleep with a light on, a nightlight. They'll be afraid to be by themselves. They will be gripped by a spirit of fear. They can't even go out in the woods. They can't go out inside and play. I'm telling you, I know from firsthand experience, one of the things that I had to get delivered of when I first got saved was a spirit of fear. And your Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So if God does not give us a spirit of fear, who does it come from? The answer is the kingdom of hell and the kingdom of darkness. And it comes very from the very pits of hell. And every single year, one day of the year, darkness is embraced and celebrated, called Halloween. And even the founder of the Satanic Bible, Anton LaVey, in the Satanic Church, he even bragged about, and he was excited about how Christians would allow their children to celebrate the devil at least one day a year. And some of y'all don't care. You can hear this. You can hear me preach about this. I can give you scriptures, and you still don't care because you'll still partake of it because you are enamored by the darkness. And look, I'm going to preach harder. You give me ugly looks and comments, I'll plow harder and I'll plow deeper. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, Paul told the church of Ephesus, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Some of y'all need to get in your prayer closet and ask the Lord, God, is this acceptable? Should I be doing this? Should I be watching this? Should I be partaking of this? Should I be participating in this? Should I allow my children to be participating in this? Whatever that is this acceptable? Ephesians, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you this is good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord, that you may prove and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So Paul told the church of Ephesus, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Listen, there was things that even I fell prey to. And I began to watch. And I began to entertain. And then it didn't take long. And the Holy Spirit began to convict me. Why? Because listen, if you are in your prayer time, If you're in your devotion and you're praying and you're in intercession, you're spending time with God and in His Word, I'm telling you, you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, who will quickly let you know what is acceptable and what is not. So that almost, listen to this, some of y'all is going to get mad. I'm going to ruffle your feathers some more. So people that have no problem with these things, that to me is an indictment to them that they don't spend a lot of time in prayer and they don't spend a lot of time in the Word. Oh, I'm going to keep plowing. Oh, Brother Ricky, how can you make such a statement? Because it's impossible for you to get into the presence of God and in prayer and intercession and you be a partaker of darkness. Even Paul told the church of Corinth, he said, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Let me read on. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Look at this. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What does he say, church? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What fruit is there in this? Tell me, honestly, tell me, what fruit is there in you entertaining yourself with this nonsense? What fruit is there in partaking and participating in a holiday that is centered around demons, ghosts, witches, warlocks, and darkness? What is the fruit of that as a believer? Come on, talk to me. I'd like to know. I'd like to know your answers. Well, Brother Ricky, it's all fun. It's harmless. It's just another day. And our kids enjoy it, and they like the candy. Okay, number one, if my kids want candy, I'll just go out and buy them candy. I don't need to give them an orange pumpkin and dress them up like a witch, a warlock, a devil, a demon, or I'm sorry, a Bible figure, because we gotta mask it up. We gotta make an alternative, because we don't want them to look evil. I'm telling you, people justify this. Well, I don't want them to have the appearance of evil, so I'll dress them up as their favorite Bible figure, and I'll send them out knocking on the door, even though they're still participating in the same holiday. and even churches. All this, I'm just going to go, look, I ain't got nothing to lose. I'm already out the gate. I'm just going to keep plowing. And even churches like the pacified. Even churches like the, well, we don't want to call it celebrating Halloween, so we'll call it trunk or treat. Oh, you just got to love trunk or treat. Now, we don't want you dressing up as witches and warlocks and demons and devils, but you can come, bring your kids, and we're going to participate. We're not going to call it trick or treat because that's demonic, but we'll call it trunk or treat. So Paul says, first, number one, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Get in prayer and find out if this is something you should be partaking of. Okay? Number one, the word of God should be the ultimate ruler. It should be the measuring rod. Look at the word of God. Measure it up to what you're doing. Does the Bible speak of this stuff? Number two, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And number three, look at this, but rather expose them. So listen, I don't care if you get mad at me and you fuss and you hiss and you foam at the mouth and you threaten to unfollow us and you're not going to support us anymore and all this. Because, listen, I don't need your approval to expose this garbage because the Bible, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit gives me permission to not have unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So it's absolutely profound that a lot of Christians, I'm telling, read the comments, a lot of quote-unquote Christians who have no problem with fellowship with darkness are not exposing darkness, but they're walking hand in hand with darkness. But we're not. Our ministry is not going to. If you're expecting us to glorify this stuff or to participate in this stuff or to encourage you to watch this stuff and partake of this stuff, that's not going to happen here. Okay, so we've got that. So then number two, all right, we're going to go on our next segment. Now, if that one didn't tick you off and make you unfollow us, this might do it. This might push you over the edge. All right, we're gonna do a reaction video. This is from Dizzy Disciple. He did a video on exposing the Passion Translation. I almost threw up in my mouth when I said translation. This is not a Bible translation. I know we talked about this on other segments, but he. This video, it's got a little bit of a humor edge to it, but he nails it, knocks it out of the park on exposing the author of the Passion Translation. You need to know how he came up with this, how it came about. Why? Because there's some of you that are watching and listening, and you have this garbage in your home. You need to get rid of it. Throw it out, burn it, just destroy it, whatever. Get rid of it. I would never have this garbage in my home. Let me show you why. Let's watch this together and we'll do some commentary on this as we watch it.
The year is 2009, and a middle-aged man named Brian Simmons claims to have been visited by Jesus in his bedroom. During this visitation, Brian says that Jesus commissioned him to author a new translation of the Bible. One
right off the bat. So this guy, Brian Simmons, says that Jesus showed up in his bedroom and commissioned him to write another Bible. Hello, right? I could shut it down right there, friend. I shouldn't even have to elaborate anymore. We should be able to turn this thing off right here and be done with it right there. But let's read on. Yeah, one that's more efficient and better translated. Sure.
One that's more efficient and better translated.
Jesus Christ came into my room. He breathed on me and he commissioned me.
The Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I told you I had a visitation from the one I love. He walked through my wall and breathed on me and released me to do this translation project.
This was not Jesus of the Bible.
Brian claims that Jesus gave him divine revelation by breathing on him, and despite having no prior linguistic experience, he would now possess the secret knowledge concerning the original languages of the Bible. Brian says it was like he received a chip into his head, and immediately downloads just came to him.
Well, Elon Musk would be proud, wouldn't he?
Yep, you heard that right. The God of the universe visited a man named Brian while he was probably relaxing in his footy pajamas, watching reruns of Everybody Loves Raymond, and while no one else was looking, God told him to fix the Bible. And then
unbelievable, guys.
Uploaded stuff to his brain. He actually said that God touched his head and supernaturally expanded the capacity of his brain, and then confirmed it with a top brain mapping scientist.
He came again. It was in a dream. came and touched my forehead right here and said, I'm increasing your capacity to know me.
Oh my gosh, guys, this is so cringe.
And then I woke up. The top brain mapping person in the world. I asked her, if God touched you right here at hairline, right there, what would that do to your brain? And she said, yo, you don't understand. It would enlarge the capacity.
On an unrelated note, I'd highly recommend getting a carbon monoxide tester. It just sounds like a good idea, so I'll leave a link in the description. Anyway, at some point in time, Brian also saw an angel and was told by God that its name was Passion, which...
Really? Wow. So, notice how... What's incredible with these false preachers, teachers, apostles, and false prophets, they will make these alleged claims that God appeared to them, an angel appeared, and they'll just keep going on and on because these gullible people fall for this stuff and they make all kinds of money off of it and profit and recognition, and they'll just keep going with it. I mean, Jesus showed up. He told me a commission, write another Bible. Then he showed up, he touched my head, he expanded my knowledge. Now an angel shows up, alleged angel shows up and says that its name is Passion. Now, nowhere in scripture, not even in books of the Apocrypha, such as the book of Enoch, which is, again, I don't consider it to be canon scripture. We call it Jewish history. Even in the books of Enoch, there's and the angels that are named, okay? This angel's nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found in Jewish history, early church history, in the 66 books of the Bible, but yet one of them showed up to Brian Simmons named Passion. Let's watch it.
Leave a link in the description. Anyway, at some point in time, Brian also saw an angel and was told by God that its name was Passion, which sounds more like a nightclub dancer to me, but who am I to judge? According to an interview he did with Sid Roth, this is where he got the name for his new Bible.
The Passion Translation.
Now, the problem isn't Bible translations or even newer translations. The Bible has been translated into 736 different languages. There are more than 100 complete Bible translations in English alone, and out of those stand about 8 mainline Protestant translations, all of which are great but have ultimately been translated by giant teams of linguistic and biblical scholars who genuinely study the original manuscripts to bring about the most accurate translation possible. Like, these guys truly know what they're talking about. And even though we've reached the pinnacle of...
Now, I would use a word of a caution. Some of these newer translations, you got to be careful with those, guys. Again, some of you have written to me, asked me, what do you stick with? I stick with the King James or the New King James. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them. The New American Standard Bible is okay. It's not one of my favorites, but there's definitely, worse translations out there. And I'm not going to go through all the list of translations or we'll be here forever, but because there's so many of them, but just want to throw that out there.
Biblical accuracy since probably, the year 1611. There seems to be a common denominator among weird.
Listen to this. Let me rewind this a little bit. He makes a great point right here. Watch this.
The year 1611. There seems to be a common denominator among weird culty cult guys messing with the Bible. They all tend to have the same origin story. Visited by God, given a mission to fix the Bible, claim to have secret knowledge and assert that all previous academic work is dog water.
So all previous work is dog water. So Joseph Smith, that's one. The Mormon Bible. Again, these guys, he nailed it. They all have this common denominator.
You get the idea. Now, whether it's Joseph Smith with the Book of Mormon or Charles Taze Russell with the New World Translation, Brian Simmons and the Passion Translation.
Yeah, that's another one you need to throw out too. Garbage.
And seem to be no different. One lone wolf with outrageous claims and no credentials meddling with the sacred word of God. Like, literally, these guys are the same person. While there are a number of legitimate translations, they all fall under the same spectrum in terms of their goals. Let me show you what I mean.
And fair warning, it's about to get nerdy.
Each legitimate translation falls under one of three categories: word for word, thought for thought, and paraphrase. On the word for word side, you have translations like the KJV, NASB, and the ESV. These translations aim to stay as close as possible to the original word for word translation, but sometimes the meaning can get lost in translation, especially for people who have lower reading comprehension or people who just don't understand the cultural context. Now, somewhere in the middle, you have this thought for thought translation, which includes guys like the NIV, the NLT, and the CSB. These translations.
Not some of my favorite translations there.
Let's focus on nailing down the meaning and the intent of the original text. So sometimes they'll rephrase things to make it seem a little bit more understandable for modern readers. Now, on the very right side of the spectrum, you have paraphrases. And this is where the Message Bible comes in. Imagine if your friend read the NIV and then told you about it in his own words. It's not a translation and it's not meant to be studied. It's simply meant for casual reading, oftentimes helpful for new believers just getting their feet wet. Now, if you take these categories into consideration, the Passion Translation would fall all the way to the far right beyond the paraphrase section into something that is called sectarian translations.
That is not good.
Among the likes of the New World Translation and the Joseph Smith Translation, the Google search AI thing defines sectarian as a preference for a specific truth or a perversion of one, and that works perfectly here. But the problem is, Brian Simmons and Broadstreet Publishing label it as a dynamic equivalence or a thought for thought. However, we can tell that they are full of doo-doo just by reading the Passion Translation along any other...
And this is hilarious, guys. Look at this meme. A bro thinks he's on the team, the Passion Translation. I love the guy's sense of humor.
Dynamic equivalence. For example, let's compare the Passion Translation to the New Living Translation by reading Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 4.
Okay, just spoiler alert. This is so cringe, guys. He's going to read. Look at the gross mistranslation of this.
The New Living Translation says, "Your neck is as beautiful as the Tower of David, jeweled with the shields of 1,000 heroes." The Passion Translation says, "When I look at you, I see your inner strength, so stately and strong. You are as secure as David's fortress.
What?
Your virtues and grace cause 1,000 famous soldiers to surrender to your beauty." What? First,
right.
The Passion Translation doesn't even remotely resemble any other translation, and you put...
Look at that. Do you hear that? This guy's just writing this nonsense. And here's the scary part, guys, is there is some translations, there's some Bible apps out there that has this translation, the Passion Translation, as one of the translations you can choose from. Shame on them. There needs to be accountability to that. They need to remove that. They need to remove that like yesterday.
The words of King Solomon in red as if it were Jesus speaking.
Even
if these were allegorical to Jesus and the church, you still took it upon yourself to present them as words Jesus literally spoke.
Yikes, that is so cringe and scary, dude.
Not only are the words wildly different, there's a lot more of them too. The NLT is simply 17 words long, while the Passion Translation is double the length at a whopping 35 words long. To put this into perspective, imagine if you were speaking to someone using a translator. You get up and say, "Hi, I'm Dizzy." And then the translator randomly goes onto this giant monologue where he appears to be telling his life story. You'd rightfully suspect that the translator is not saying...
This is hilarious. Fake sign language interpreter delivered gibberish in Florida. Again, this guy's sense of humor is hilarious.
What you're saying. Look how the Passion Translation has 2,919 total words, while the ESV has 1,932. That's 51% more words. And it's not just regular words, but weird hyper-charismatic words that aren't really in the Bible anyways.
Uh-oh.
Words like realm, which is used approximately 0 times in the ESV, while the Passion Translation uses it, drumroll please, 196 times.
Yikes. Yikes, guys. Realm. Show me in the King James where realm is used. I can't tell you one scripture. 196 times. Look at this. Prophetic. In the New King James, used 3 times, 28 times in the Passion Translation. Anointed, 223 times in the Passion Translation, and it's not a translation. I hate saying that. Activate, really? Expression, 0 times in the KJV, in the New King James, six times, 18 times, promise 128 times. Wow. This is just unbelievable. Yet people, he's getting ready to get into some stuff here in just a moment. And I'm telling you, some people's going to get their feathers ruffled.
Ironically, I have no words to explain how ridiculous this is. All six of my brain cells lack the energy needed to conjure up a statement on this one. The saddest part is that the Christians supporting and promoting Brian in the Passion Translation genuinely think that this is just another reliable translation of the Bible.
Isn't that not scary? They think that this is a reliable translation. Now, he's getting ready to name some names. And if you follow these people, you just need to know this. And if they read from this translation, you're just as gullible. And you are just eating this stuff up.
Kind of like people who still watch The View.
Like, why? Why are you doing this to yourself? Do you enjoy pain?
Now, it's been heavily endorsed by people such as John and Lisa Bevere, Michael W. Smith, Bill Johnson, and Bethel Church.
It's actually a better translation than the King James. Sorry.
The new.
Wow. Wow.
Translation that's out there that is just so amazing. It's called the Passion Translation.
No.
Banning Liebscher, Bobby Houston, and I've even seen a number of Christian artists such as Lauren Daigle reading it on Instagram Live.
It's in Romans 8, the Passion Translation for the passionate ones.
Okay, let's just...
Ridiculous. I'm not surprised. Lauren Daigle's not one of my favorite artists either. When she was questioned about homosexuality, is homosexuality a sin? Well, she was just melted like butter. Well, I don't know. I can't really say. You know, for me, I don't know. Really? Again, don't be a Christian artist. Don't represent the name of God if you don't even know the word of God. Anyway.
Just stop there. It's safe to say that the Passion Translation has reached mainstream notoriety. It's even on the YouVersion Bible app with like millions of daily users.
Sad.
All this despite countless scholars offering legitimate concerns. I mean, Bible Gateway even removed it from their platform altogether.
Good.
Which makes perfect sense after hearing some of the bizarre things that Brian Simmons has publicly stated. And look.
All right, now brace yourself. Let's look at... Now he's going to go over some of the bizarre... erroneous things that this man has publicly stated as truths. This guy saying, I mean, he'll tell you this really happened. Ready? Here we go.
And look, listing them all off could easily be its own video. So instead, I'll just highlight some of my favorites. Also, I have no idea what to use for B-roll here. So I'm just going to feed all these into AI and see what it spits out. Because why not? Number one. He's gone to heaven, grabbed two books from the Library of Heaven, and brought them back to Earth. Number two,
wow.
His wife has levitated off the ground twice and has seven dreams from God.
Well, that's not demonic, is it?
Every night. Number three, he went on a long ride on a fiery chariot through the northeast area of the U.S. and watched the sunrise with a, quote, prophet whose name you would know.
Wow, guys. Wow.
Four, Brian will one day have so much glory on him that people within a 50-mile radius will feel it. Number five, fire once shot out of his head and caught a church... I'm so sorry. I just can't. Fire once shot out of his head and caught a church on fire. They had to call the fire department and replace the sound system.
What? This is the guy that... this is the founder of the Passion Translation. Guys, you got to share this video. If you know... somebody out there that has this on their shelf and they read from this, listen from this, study from this. If you know a pastor that gets up and quotes this translation, you need to run from that. You need to run from that. This is serious. We're laughing about this stuff, but these people are gullible.
Number six, he once went to the store to get milk and the glory of God was so powerfully on him that everyone he passed by just fell over. He
sure.
First thought they were all having heart attacks, but then realized it was the glory. Number seven, he identifies the Holy Spirit through she, her pronouns and relates him to a mother.
Wow. That is blasphemy. Nowhere in the Bible is Holy Spirit identified with a she pronoun. It is always he, him, his. This is unbelievable, guys.
That's
unbelievable.
So dumb. He literally calls himself he, like in the Bible. Okay, in conclusion, the Passion Translation is awful. It's like microwaving Kool-Aid and trying to pass it off as if it's fruity tea or something. Brian Simmons should have written a fantasy novel instead, because honestly, his imagination is next level, and that would have been way better than any of this. And if you're still not convinced, I'd suggest watching the entire Passion series by Mike Winger.
Passion Translation is a bad translation. It is not even proper to call it a translation. It has more issues than I can count. It pushes sectarian theology and puts ideas into the Bible that just aren't there to start with.
He interviews like 6 different Bible scholars who give their strong insight into how dangerous the Passion Translation truly is. But just know that you'll need like 3 years of your life to finish it, because it's like a kajillion hours long.
All right, I want to read this scripture. This comes to my mind. This sums up everything we've talked about today on this program. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 through 5. Paul said this to the church of Corinth, "But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now listen to what he says here. This is a warning. "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus." I want to highlight this. Paul warns about another Jesus. He said, if one comes preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached, does the Jesus that these guys are representing, that they talk about, that they claim visitations from and encounters from, does it line up with the Jesus of the Bible and the Jesus that the apostles encountered? Because Paul said there's coming individuals in the last days, even in his time, and it will only get worse. It will wax worse. We know that from Scripture. That comes and they'll preach another Jesus. Look at this. Who we have not preached. Then he takes it a step further. Or if you receive a different spirit. You know, this guy's talking about walking around, you know, falling out. He's walking through the grocery store and people are falling over. It's from the anointing. The anointing's not from God. That is not the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is another spirit. This is a different spirit. His wife levitating off the ground. You think the Holy Spirit's doing that? Listen, nowhere in Scripture does the Holy Spirit do that nonsense. But what you will find is you go overseas, like places like Haiti, and demonic spirits that work through witch doctors and sorcerers, they will levitate people off the ground. Since we were talking about demon possession earlier in the first segment of this, that is a known thing. People that dealt with Ouija boards and seances and stuff, people levitate. That's demons. That is not the Holy Spirit. So he says another Jesus. Watch out for it. Watch out for a different spirit, which you have not received. And then he says a different gospel, which you have not accepted. Now look, here's the scary part. You may well put up with it. And friends, welcome to the end times, where gullible, non-discerning, no Bible reading Christians are accepting another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. It doesn't line up with the 66 books of the Bible. It doesn't line up with the earlier apostles. It doesn't line up with the early church. But yet, they are embracing it. They are embracing it. They're condoning it. And they will fight you for it. When somebody, a preacher comes along like myself and exposes this stuff, they get mad, angry. But friends, again, I'm not here to pacify you. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to bring you the gospel truth. So listen, I hope you've enjoyed this segment. I pray that it's been a blessing to you. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, again, you can find us at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Download our free app, available on Apple and Android devices. That's how you can keep up with this. And of course, you just like, hit, share that subscribe button on these platforms as well. And listen, if this ministry blessed you, encouraged you, informs you, all the above, as always, we want to give an opportunity to be a blessing back to us. And you can pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that 2 different ways. You can give electronically through the app right there on your screen. Or you can give by check or money order at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Again, we hope you have a great rest of your night. And we plan on being back here, Lord willing, tomorrow night, Thursday, September 5th, with another great segment. Until then, I pray the Lord's blessings be upon you. May his countenance shine upon you, and may his grace be upon you as well. So God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.